Before we get into today's episode, we want you to know 30 for 30 Podcast and the Undefeated present the King of Crenshaw. This four-part series examines how Nipsey Hussle's life, death, and legacy impacted the sports world, particularly the NBA. Here, DeMar DeRozan, Isaiah Thomas, and DeMarcus Cousins, among others, explore the realities of life as a black man in America. Nipsey's dedication to South LA and his community and how Nipsey inspired millions. The marathon continues. The King of Crenshaw. Listen now on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, speaking of fantasy football, for ESPN Plus subscribers, join an ESPN Plus fantasy football league now for a chance to win $250,000. Sweepstakes is U.S. only, 18 or older. No purchase necessary. Visit ESPN.com/ESPN Plus football rules for full details and official rules.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of DC and RC. I'm Daniel Cormier. That's my guy, Ryan Clark, over there dancing to that old school funk. Listen, I don't get tired of hearing our intro music because to me, RC, it's got to be the best entrance music in all the television, podcasting, because it just kind of makes you feel good. It feels like it's good for your soul, right?
Hey, man, listen, it's a good vibe. I mean, the thing I'm most excited about, DC, was that they actually let us pick it. They let us hear a couple of different beats, and they said, you know what? This one feels like y'all, and it feels like home every time I hear it, my guy.
You know, it was a combination of two or three different beats that came together to just make absolute magic. And what we plan to do on this show is make magic. So coming up, we're going to talk about Kayla Harrison and the way that she has dominated the PFL tournament and some of the call-outs that she's putting on people. Then we're going to jump into the biggest fight of the weekend. I know it's hard to say that because it involves Jake Paul versus Tyron Woodley, but the whole world is going to be
yeah,
watching.
Yeah, it's a big fight.
But more importantly, Ryan Clark, you and I are going to be on the clock because we are going to get into the most marketable, the most must-see watch fighter draft on DC and RC this weekend. And I'm telling you, some DC, of the names DC, that DC, I have stored, DC. I have nothing written down. Nothing.
DC, now I know you want to talk about, oh, look at me. Look at my MMA UFC knowledge. I don't have to write down the top five fighters. But let me tell you what you don't do as well as you remember UFC history. You don't catch the football as well. So last night, I'm just minding my business, chilling in the house, and I see some alerts popping up on my IG. I look at this picture, and it's Daniel Cormier about maybe an inch off of the ground, jumping over somebody. I think his name is like Big Rich, Big Rob, Big Ricky, who obviously doesn't jump at all. And what I can tell from this picture, DC, is you don't actually catch this ball. But then as you have the caption, you say, just like you do to Ryan Clark, listen, big man, you have the championship belt in two division, but you ain't got no Super Bowl rings. You chose wrestling for a reason. So tell me, my guy, why are you coming at me?
So here's the thing, RC. That seems to be the thing to do this week, right? It's come after my dog. So I was like, I might as well get on board too, right? So I'm out here. I'm like, let me go moss this cat. I've seen Randy Moss's segment, mossed. And now, so it's been debated that I did not catch the ball. And his name is Big Joe. He was a fantastic linebacker.
Okay,
he doesn't jump as high as he may have done back in the day. But as I mossed right. Big Joe, as I would moss you, Clark, people are starting to say, well, DC, did you catch the ball? Glenn Jacobs did kind of tell you exactly what I was doing. It was a tip drill. So whereas I may not have caught it the first time, roll the extra stills.
Okay, so what happened?
The ball gets popped up in the air. Right? The ball gets popped up in the air, RC. Right. Now go to the next one. Look at the eyes on DC. That's called awareness, field awareness. And then look at him turn and catch it. Now I've got my foot planted because I'm spinning back to the opposite direction off you, Clark. You know what I'm saying? I'm spinning off of you as I catch the ball,
DC.
As I go into the end zone. Look, man.
DC.
Ryan,
no,
you got to get
DC,
it, though.
DC. What's DC.
That?
DC.
What?
I've watched you slam what? Dan Henderson. I've seen you beat Stipe Miocic. I've seen you do some amazing things in the octagon, DC. I'm going to tell you like this. If you tip that ball in the air like that, and then you're looking up with your left eye on it, with your right foot planted, That might be the last time you ever plant a right foot in your life. Hey, bro, if we're going to talk about wrestling,
you hit me
if
right.
We're going to talk about putting on the gloves, I give it to you at
no,
all points. You
don't
get taken out of there.
It's
you
over,
see
Clark.
It, you see it. It is out of there. I am running through you, DC. All due respect, my man. When we are on this show and it is about Clark. The UFC, you have the right of way. But when we talking about football, if you tip a ball in the Clark. Air, that's going to be the last one you tip today.
I'm trying to hit you with that spin move. No, I figured I would hit Ryan with a stop route and then hit him with a double move. I'm hitting him with a double move, right, to get into the end zone than this dude. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to the Pro Bowl. It's all I dream about.
DC.
But Ryan, listen, that would be the first. Wait, no, listen. That would be the first time that I have really mossed a guy that played in a Super Bowl. But there was another first last weekend. As the Clark parents were introduced to mixed martial arts. Ryan, tell me how much did your mom love watching the fights last weekend from the Apex?
Love would be a very strong adjective to describe my mother's emotions. Every time someone dropped, every time someone was kicked, anytime someone was on the ground and mounted, my mother turned her head away and was, I just can't watch it. But like most mothers, she was very excited to see my new friend work. And I was like, yeah, mom, that's DC. That's who I do the show with. And she was like, oh, he's really good. Look at his jacket. Ooh. I was like, mom, we're not worried about DC's jacket. Like, dude is a fighter. She was all excited to meet my new friends, but she doesn't necessarily love the new job. But my dad was all the way into it. My dad was saying things like, hey, how is this dude going to fight? And how is he going to be in the ring when he can't fight? When all he can do is wrestle. I was like, pops, it's mixed martial arts. But it was cool. I had to take a picture from my parents' house. It's so crazy. It's actually the house I grew up in. We tried to get them to move. They didn't want to move. You know how people from the West Bank are, bro. But it was exciting to go sit with my parents, have an opportunity to watch you work, bro. Have an opportunity to introduce my mom to what we do now.
You know what the crazy thing was about the fights last weekend? Is I wore a different suit, one that I haven't worn on TV for the first time, and I get a text from Dana White. He was like, Conor McGregor bullying you made you wear a new suit. He was like, did Conor make you buy a new suit, dog? It was absolutely ridiculous. In the middle of the show, getting a text from the boss telling me that Conor's bullying has made me buy new clothes. It's absolutely ridiculous. It was something I had before, and it was time to switch it up a little bit, as they say. But ultimately on Saturday night, RC, the fights was about Jared Cannonier and Kelvin Gastelum, and it absolutely delivered. It was a great fight from start to finish.
It did.
The whole fight night was fantastic. But as we leave that fight, as we leave the Apex, you look at a Jared Cannonier, a guy who is ranked number 3 in the world, was in a number 1 contenders fight last time, beats another top guy. What do you expect him to do? Because I asked Jared in the middle of the octagon, I'm like, hey, man, the champ has been saying he wants to fight you, right? You know that Whitaker and Adesanya are fighting again. Do you want to try to wait, maybe weigh in as an alternate, or do you want to fight again? Dude sits up there and goes, well, I'm broke, so I need a fight. But at times, you have to value prestige in a division over financial. So when you look at Jared Cannonier in this situation, what do you think that he should do? Do you think that Jared should continue to fight, maybe fight the winner of next week's fight between Till and Brunson? Or just wait to see if he gets an opportunity, an injury happens or something between Adesanya versus Whitaker.
I mean, I think it's all about planning, DC. It's about can Jared Cannonier get a fight early enough before the 2022 meeting of the champion and Robert Whitaker to maybe be prepared and ready to be a guy that could step into that fight. We've talked about money on this show probably more than I've talked about money on any NFL show, even throughout free agency, whether it's a lack of money, whether it's making decisions because the money is right. And that seems like where Jared Cannonier is. Let's think about this dude, bro. He starts out in heavyweight, right? He moves down to 205, naturally starts working and works his way into this powerful, huge 185 pounder who gets the contender fight and loses to Robert Whitaker. Now, there is no shame in that. But this is a dude saying he doesn't have any money, that he got houses in Alaska. He has fees to pay and all these different things. He seems like he's trying to get back in the octagon right now. So if I'm him, I look at the Brunson and the Till fight. And if those guys win quick, right? If it's a quick KO, if it's a quick submission, I try to press the UFC to give me that fight right away to set myself up to be there for the Izzy and Whitaker winner or to be able to step in if one of those guys has to pull out.
So for me, it's a little bit different, right, RC? So I love what you're saying, but I my opinion varies a little bit because here's what I think. I think that they fight next week, Brunson and Till, but I don't think that they fight right away. I think they wait. I think they wait and they fight along the same timeline as the champion versus the former champion, Robert Whittaker.
I got you.
Because if you have a championship fight scheduled, and then in the co-main event, if it's not a two-title fight card, you have Cannoneer versus Till slash Brunson. Now you have not only two big fights in the middleweight division, you keep both of those matchups in line with each other. So at the end of the fight night, you have your next title already done. But not only does that come into play, you also have a reserve in case one of the guys get hurt. Mm. We both know after watching the heavyweight title fight, an interim championship can pop up just about out of anywhere, right? So if the champ Adesanya gets hurt, maybe one of these guys fights Robert Whittaker for an interim title. But if all goes according to plan, now you have the champ, whoever comes out of that fight, fight the winner of Cannoneer versus Brunson slash Till in the next championship fight. So I think the timeline needs to stay along the same course
so but
that
DC,
you have all those things that can play into effect with each other.
Right, DC. But so if you're Jarrett Cannoneer, to me, you have to take the winner of Brunson and Till, because from what you're saying, if that timeline lays out, right, if you get the Cannoneer, Till, or Cannoneer, Brunson fight around the same time you get Whittaker, Izzy, for a dude who's saying that he needs money, he can't wait that long. You can't, listen, if was the fifth, we'd all be drunk. And so he can't just be sitting around waiting for someone to not be able to fight or waiting for an opportunity to get one of those top dudes and pass over a fight that could get him money, pass over a fight that could solidify him as the number one contender out after the Izzy Whittaker winner is declared. And so to me, this is a no-brainer for Jarrett Cannoneer. You can't wait. You can't wait. Go out once again and show that you belong. And if you believe in your skills, the same way I know guys like you did or any other top contender does, you think you're going to win the fight anyway. Win the fight, make the money, build the championship fight up even more, because now you're 100% solidified, and go get the money that maybe you can raise the stakes of that championship fight.
That's exactly what Robert Whittaker did, right? When he lost the title fight, he went and fought Darren Till, and then he fought Jarrett Cannoneer, put himself right back into title contention. Cannoneer has that opportunity himself, right? Cannoneer is fighting against Kelvin Gastelum, and then he can fight against the winner of that fight next week. There's also guys out there, right? Marvin Vettori. There's also Paulo Costa. There are many matchups that he could take in order to further his title contendership, but I think this one works the absolute best. It's an interesting time for the middleweight divisional. Right. Because now you got a whole bunch of guys jumbled along the top that could potentially challenge the champion.
DC, I have one question for you. I have a big fighter question for you, though. Is there a fear if you're taking the Till Brunson winner, or you're fighting against Costa or Vettori, that you could lose? That losing that fight in the same way and losing to Robert Whittaker puts you out of contention, or at least didn't have you with that next step to fight for the championship? If I'm a Jarrett Cannoneer, should I be worried about that and saying, yeah, even though the money is good and the money is needed, I'd rather wait on that championship bout because it's more eyes, more money, and an opportunity to be even richer than I've ever been if I win?
You know, the thing about Jarrett Cannoneer is that he's not afraid, right? And people are just kind of wired differently. Like in football, Ryan, you guys rush out to you're 8-7. You know you got to go to 9-7 to make the playoffs. There's no option to not play that team that might be 10-5. You know what I'm saying? You got to go play them. And I think that's the same thing with fighters, right? We got to go and just fight the fight. And Jarrett Cannoneer isn't really worried about his position, because even in losing to Robert Whittaker, his stock rose. He broke his arm. He broke his arm, a bad injury, and was able to go 5 rounds with the former champion and be competitive in a lot of spots. So that one win over Kelvin Gastelum still elevates Jarrett Cannoneer to a position where he could challenge for a title. But Darren Till has a great mouthpiece, right? Guy loves to talk. Derek Brunson's on the best role of his entire career. So if he wins one more over one of those guys, it truly would catapult him into a legit title shot challenger against Adesanya. And what a visual it would be to see the beast that is Jared Cannonier fighting the tall, lanky athlete that is Israel Adesanya, man. It would be fantastic to see those guys mixed up in the octagon. You know, passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, Ryan Clark, I'm done, right? Keeps.com can't help me. You know, I'm a lost cause, RC. I mean, look at that. The roof, hey, the sunroof is completely open on the boy DC, and it's just going down the backside. But a person that's not losing in any facet, right, losing hair, losing fights, losing money, being broke, is Kayla Harrison, dog. Kayla Harrison is smashing everybody. What do you make of Kayla Harrison when you see her, two-time Olympic champion, in the octagon?
It's dominance, DC, and it's dominance in a way that we probably haven't seen. And even more so than what Ronda was, but also the charisma, right? The post-fight interviews and the right type of call-outs and making sure that whether it's Cyborg, Izzy Adesanya, whoever it is, she's making it a point to put her name along the side of what are really greats in the sport of fighting. And when you watch her go out, get someone to the ground, you know it's over. Once they're on the ground, you know there's no moving, there's no maneuvering, and there's no way to... I'm watching this fight, and I'm like, stop it. And not necessarily because she was dishing out so much punishment. It's because you knew it was over. You knew it was over 30 seconds before it was stopped. It was just a formality to see if her opponent could wiggle out, move a hand, turn over, and get out of the way. But now, let's ask the real question, no DC, because she's undefeated, right? She's an Olympian, right? A judo master. She's figured out ways to absolutely dominate inside the octagon. Who is the woman for her? Who stands across the octagon from Kayla Harrison and makes her scared, makes her back down, or who can dominate her? Is she the best female fighter in the world?
Ryan, my friend, I am here to tell you, nobody, and this is not hyperbole. This is not me putting on. I'm a UFC guy. I see the GOAT, Amanda Nunes, all the time, but I'm telling you right now, there is no one like Kayla Harrison. Nobody has what she has.
So, DC.
Because listen, Ryan, when you can dominate in the way that she is, I understand she is not fighting the cream of the crop, but there has been no mishaps. She's undefeated. She is dominating. She has gone down to 45. And then Invicta, when they allowed her to elbow people, it was even worse. It was brutal the way that she dominated the fight. And then when you get on the mic afterward, you say, hey, I just beat a girl from Israel Adesanya's team. So what I'm going to say next is Israel Adesanya couldn't stop my takedowns. She just does it right.
Yeah, every now she's a genius. Time, she's
she
a genius.
Hits the marks. She hits the marks, and she has the fight ability to back it up. And I'm telling you right now, as I look into my camera, whether it's Chris Cyborg, whether it's Amanda Nunes, I don't know who in the world can beat Kayla Harrison right now. I am not
DC,
confident
I have a real
to
question
say
for
she
you.
Is losing to anyone. Don't ask me. Go ahead.
This is a real question for you, DC. This is a real question. Why do you hate Amanda Nunes?
No.
When it was Juliana Pena, you were saying that she was going to beat Amanda Nunes. Now all of a sudden, Kayla Harrison is going to beat Amanda Nunes.
I see what you're
doing.
I'm
just trying to ask,
no, look, I never
DC,
said,
why don't
hey,
you like
no,
Amanda Nunes?
No,
what does she do to you?
I love Amanda Nunes.
No, I love Amanda Nunes.
Do you really?
I absolutely love Amanda Nunes. I absolutely
do. You?
I absolutely love Amanda Nunes. I love Nina Nunes. I think they're fantastic. I think what Amanda has done for the sport,
just because
is
you keep repeating it,
unmatched.
Doesn't make it so.
No, I am telling you, it is the truth. I love Amanda. The reality is, I'm talking about a person that I've never seen anything like it. And hey, we've never seen Amanda before. We've never seen a fighter quite like Amanda, but we have seen Amanda get beat. Nobody has even come close to challenging Kayla Harrison. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's one person that could fight Kayla Harrison, obviously it is the greatest female fighter of all time, Amanda Nunes. She's 21-4. She's got a reach advantage. She's 112 in the world. Kayla's 111. Kayla's a couple years younger. I just don't know how you handle the physicality and the pressure that Kayla Harrison brings. And I think at some point we will get to see that. We will get to see this fight at 145 pounds because we have seen Kayla Harrison make the weight before. It's fantastic. And I believe that when they get locked into the octagon, the biggest fight in female fight history. Biggest fight in history.
Absolutely.
No questions asked.
It's the fight. It's the fight we need, to me, DC. We need to see Kayla Harrison. We need to see Amanda Nunes. Amanda Nunes was at the fight last weekend, and we got an opportunity to see Kayla Harrison talk to Cyborg. But this is the one thing. This is the one thing that sticks out in my mind to me about Amanda Nunes. There has been many great female fighters that have stepped into the octagon with her, whether it be Rousey, Cyborg, Holly Holm, Shevchenko, and these are all people that are, and all women that I've watched walk this to the octagon, and I was very confident that they could be competitive. But obviously, Shevchenko has probably been, obviously has been the most competitive against Amanda Nunes. But when she's fighting Cyborg and she comes out and she's toe-to-toe, she's eye-to-eye, she's not blinking, she's throwing heavy punches, putting herself in harm's way to absorb heavy punches, and it's not even a fight. It was a physical dominance that I had never seen over someone that I felt couldn't be physically dominated amongst her peers. And so to just sit here and unequivocally say, to not even like squint your face, not even give it thought.
Bro.
And I know we had a production meeting, but I thought while you were out faking moss catches and acting like you were catching the ball over Big Rob or whatever, that you would actually come to your senses. Or, sun is so close to your brain, DC. I figure like it'll warm it up and you can understand. You are talking about the lioness, bro. You acted like she don't have a chance, DC. So we just shouldn't watch the fight.
No, Ryan, I'm not
saying
no.
If she fights Kayla Harrison, we just shouldn't watch it.
I'm not saying that she is not going to have a chance. What I'm saying is, and this will upset somebody else. I don't know if Kayla Harrison and Valentina should. I don't know if Kayla Harrison fights Valentina Shevchenko if it's that close because she's so big. I don't know. For as good as Valentina is, the size difference is so massive. I don't know if Valentina can compete with Kayla in the way that she competes with the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Amanda Nunes. Love Amanda. Guys, don't let this dude come in here.
No,
and
you
try
don't.
To stir the
you
pot.
Don't. You
and
don't love Amanda.
I don't like Amanda
Nunes. I'm not stirring the pot.
I love Amanda Nunes. All I'm saying is it's a very difficult matchup because of physical ability and the grappling that Kayla Harrison possesses. A lot of the issues, Ryan, and this is why Amanda's been so dominant. She's fantastic. She is as good as they come, but she is so well-rounded. She can do it all. So when you fight a Jermaine Durandamy, who's a great striker, you just take her down every single round. When you fight a Ronda Rousey, who's a great grappler, you stand and beat her up on the feet.
Straight to stand up.
She just has all the skills. So then all of her opponents can't match that. So she makes them fight in that area. Kayla has all those same skills, but she's a bigger fighter and younger. They say a lot of times in rematches and in fights, the bigger, younger athlete will get the job done in most cases. And I think that would be the case if Kayla and Amanda fought. I'm not picking. I'm just saying it's very difficult. I almost picked there. God dang it, I almost picked. You see, it's you, Ryan. It's you. You do this to me.
Well, here's,
you
well, DC,
almost made me pick a fight
DC,
I don't like to pick.
DC, well, here's what I'm going to say. Just as Connor made you change your suit, I made you change your conversation and your argument. We went from Amanda to Valentina because you know that the lioness is going to see you, and you may not be as strong as Kayla is, and you might be a little scared.
I'm not scared. I'm not scared. I'm just like trying not. You got me out here almost disrespecting the greatest fighter of all time. I don't want to disrespect. I don't want to disrespect the greatest female fighter of all time.
Clearly.
What?
All right. So now, so we've got an opportunity to talk about a magical fight that we may get in the future and a matchup that we would all love to see. But do you know what people are going to be looking forward to seeing this weekend? And I almost cannot believe I'm saying that the biggest fight of the weekend is Tyron Woodley and Jake Paul. What do you make of the fight game? What do you make of the way that Jake Paul has truly, truly manipulated, has truly, truly worked and created a space for himself where he makes money like this? But now this is the first time, you know, the Ben Askrens and the Nate Washingtons, these aren't guys who could really put him to sleep. He's going to be in the ring now with someone with skill, with someone with power. How do you see this weekend playing out?
I got to tell you, RC, I'm excited. I've watched it. I watched him fight Ben Askren, partly because Ben was a teammate of mine and I wanted to see what would happen. But I watched him fight Nate Robinson, too. I watched him fight
Nate Robinson. I'm sorry, because, I said Washington, yeah.
Yeah, I watched him fight Nate because it's funny and we all tune in. That's why, Ryan, when they're doing this stupid challenge on TikTok right now where people are trying to walk across crates, big, fat people walking across crates, and they just fall down every time. We watch train wrecks. We constantly watch train wrecks because you can't turn away from it. So I watch Jake Paul every single time he fights. But here's the thing. It's time for people to start taking Jake Paul seriously. I know that him and I had our run-ins and everything, and I'll never be okay with the kid. That's not my cup of tea. But the reality is you got to take this kid serious, because when you're fighting guys like Ben, who's an amateur boxer, like Nate Robinson, who's an amateur boxer, those guys are amateurs and true amateurs. Jake Paul is a rich person that is fighting amateurs but getting trained by the absolute best trainers in the world. His skills are developing at a rate that is unmatched by these young guys. Now, Tyron Woodley, on the other hand, he's got a real boxing coach. He's got money. He's got skills and ability, and he's got a championship pedigree that will make him the first true challenge that Jake Paul has seen inside the ring. But guys, it's time to stop allowing this kid to trick you. He is not just a YouTube kid anymore. He's not just a Disney kid. He's a fighter because he's prepping to fight full time. But he's going to have his hands full this weekend because T. Wood is no joke. T. Wood is nasty. T. Wood is powerful. He's tough, and he has got a killer right hand that if he lands, he's going to knock Jake Paul out.
DC, this is my question. Obviously, when we looked at Ben Askren, I know you mentioned, and everybody knows now, that that's a teammate of yours. You know, and we've seen Ben inside the octagon. We actually saw him dominate for a very long time until he had to, you know, he met Street Jesus, you know, as some people has called him, and it was the quick flying knee. But is Tyron Woodley representing the UFC? Is he representing MMA? Is this a guy that once Jake Paul fights him, we're really going to have an opportunity to look at Jake Paul and say, you know what, we should respect him? Or Jake Paul is on his way to being a legitimate fighter, but now he's fighting against a dude who people don't respect. He's fighting a dude who people feel like doesn't deserve the opportunity to be inside the ring with someone like him. If Jake Paul beats Tyron Woodley, what does that mean for Tyron Woodley? What does that mean for the sport of MMA? And ultimately, what does it mean for Jake Paul?
I got to be honest with you. He's absolutely representing mixed martial arts. Every single time Jake Paul is in the ring with a fighter or a former fighter, whether they want it or not, they are carrying the entire sport of mixed martial arts on their shoulders. Because the vast majority of people, not just mixed martial arts fans, people hope that you beat Jake Paul and put him back in his place. But the reality is the mixed martial arts fans, the masses, the people that have watched your entire career, the people that have seen you sleep Robbie Lawler, sleep Koss, sleep Jay Heron, sleep all those guys that you've slept over the course of your career, They are hoping that you go and do the same thing against this kid that honestly is just a disruptor. He disrupts everything, right? He goes to the fights and he has the crowd yelling expletives at him. And he loves it. He's just basking in it. He's the guy that goes and annoys me to the point that I walk up to him. He goes places to agitate people. So every time he gets to beat a mixed martial artist, now especially one that has worn a title, it's going to allow for him to take his character to the next level. But again, it is a character. Make no mistake about it. But this kid is truly learning to fight. So if you're going to go in there with Jake Paul, you better be completely serious because the dude's trying to win. And Tyron Woodley, I feel, is as locked in, or as you say, RC, he has tapped in. Dude's tapped in to boxing, and he's as prepared as he's ever been for a long time for this fight this weekend. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm absolutely locked in, and I'm locked in for many of the reasons you mentioned, but most of all, I want to see what's real. I want to see if Tyron Woodley is approaching this in a way where he's like, you know what? I understand what's on the line for me, and I want to make sure, or I want to see that Jake Paul knows and understands that his life could be on the line stepping in the ring with someone like Tyron Woodley.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of DC and RC. You can catch part two tomorrow as RC and I draft UFC's most must-see fighters of all time.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.